Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Ray Hines, joined here with Blythe Wagner. Hey, Blythe, how are you doing?
Hey, Ray, I am absolutely fantastic, as usual.
And we're ready to jump in, right?
We are. I am so excited to be bringing a fresh new podcast to our listeners. And this time, we're at episode 103 already. I can't believe it. We are entitling this one, Starting Over or Tweaking My Program.
Which should we choose, right?
Yes, exactly.
So we're recording this video or this podcast at the beginning of the year. It's now January 3rd. And so I don't know when you are listening to this episode, but it doesn't really matter because many people throughout the year end up restarting their weight loss program multiple times, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And this is something that I find that a lot of people have a question about. So I'm really excited to be talking about this today.
So let's just jump right in. The spoiler alert is this. Always tweak, never start over, never start from scratch, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you found a program, and these are the notes I took for myself. If you found a program that you believe in, I say stick with it. You're going to have to make tweaks no matter what the problem is. But it doesn't mean that you need to pick a brand new program altogether.
In fact, you should never pick a brand new program altogether. And I'll tell you why. The failures, the obstacles, and the resistance that we feel are the most valuable lessons in life. These are the things that really direct us towards our ultimate goal, right? So we're stepping into action. Where let's say we're starting the year and we've decided, okay, man, we're just going to go full on ketogenic diet, right? And so okay. We take practically all the carbs out. We eat nothing but fat and protein, and we lose some weight. And then one day we wake up and we just we've had a bad night's sleep, and we're just craving carbs. So we just binge. We eat all kinds of stuff,
right.
And we totally screw up our ketogenic diet that we've been doing perfectly for the last, let's say, 3 weeks.
Okay,
and we've been having some success with it too. So let's say we've lost 6 or 7 or 8 pounds in that time. And we've had some good success, but we fail ourselves, right? For some reason, we give up on the program, or we trip over some sort of resistance and we end up not succeeding with the program. So what do most people do? Well, they pull the ripcord, they jump out of the airplane, and they look for a whole brand new airplane to fly to their destination, right?
Right. And one of the things that I think will resonate with most people is that all of the things you've learned within that first 3 weeks of utilizing that program proved to be working for you, whether you read books about it, learned some new tips to incorporate into your life, maybe found a new type of workout, maybe discovered some new foods. All of these things are great tools for your toolbox. So why would you just throw that out the window of the airplane and start fresh? Because you've got a new toolbox that you're building.
And you've learned that the ketogenic diet is a biochemical fit for you, right? We know that it causes weight loss. And we're going to talk about this whole concept of biochemical and cultural fit here in just a minute. But the worry that we have with people starting a weight loss program is not that they're going to ultimately lose hope if they fail, because you and I both know that that nobody seems to lose hope around losing weight, right? We always seem to hold on to at least some shred of hope that eventually we'll find our solution, right? So the risk isn't that we're going to lose hope and give up. The risk is that we're going to fail, jump ship, throw out every possible lesson that we could have learned, and start entirely new over and over and over and over again. That is the crisis of yo-yo dieting that we have here in our society today, right?
Exactly. You just hit the nail on the head. Those failures, though, are lessons in the form of frustration and pain. And, you know, just like if you're a parent, you know that we let our child, you know, run until they fall and skin their knee. That's a lesson of frustration and pain. Maybe they don't want to be running in roller skates or whatever it is. You know, we try to tell them what to do and what not to do for fear of them getting hurt. But sometimes you just have to let people learn on their own. And I think this is one of the biggest lessons just pertaining it to the weight loss scenario.
Right. The key to success is to view failure as progress rather than evidence that you will never succeed. And I think that is a lesson that people really need to take from this. And let me also point out that our belief, and I hope that you will adopt this belief as well, is that no weight problem is unsolvable. None.
Right.
Fat storage is science, not magic. It's science. So there is a solution for every single person out there who suffers with a quote unquote weight problem. You just have to keep on trekking, keep on trying and failing to get to the ultimate things that work for you. And there's just no way around that.
Right. And I, you know, one of the things that society has lied to us about all of these years is that we need to keep searching for the quick fix. But the reality of that is there is no quick fix. At some point in time throughout your program, it might be 9 months down the road, all of a sudden something happens. You and I both know somebody who recently has been working at this for a couple of years, and all of a sudden she's like getting into the best shape of her entire life. And it's taken so much time, but because she persisted, it's finally starting to pay off. So the amount of time that it takes is going to be different for every individual. But the key lesson here is do not give up.
Always take our failures and obstacles with us to our next attempt, because our greatest opportunities can be found in the things that derail us. And that is such an important lesson for you to take. And it's, in fact, the entire lesson of today's podcast is always take our failures and obstacles with us to our next attempt, because the greatest opportunities that we have in finding our solution, finding our fat loss formula, can be found in the things that derail us, in the things that cause us to fail, the things that cause or lead to resistance. So always keep that in mind. So there are only two reasons why we don't succeed at losing weight. Either our program wasn't a biochemical fit or it wasn't a cultural fit. And this is a very, very important concept. And let me explain as briefly as I possibly can what the biochemical fit means and what the cultural fit means, because I think this will clear things up for a lot of people.
Yeah,
biochemical fit simply means a behavior that causes us to lose weight. A cultural fit speaks to a behavior that we can maintain indefinitely. That's as simple as you can take it. So if a behavior is a biochemical fit but not a cultural fit, it allows us to lose weight, but we stop doing it at the first opportunity because it causes too much mental anguish and we just can't maintain it because life sucks too much. A behavior that is a cultural fit but not a biochemical fit is easy for us to do but doesn't result in weight loss for us, right?
Gotcha.
So
I think a lot of people, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I think a lot of people search for a cultural fit. That is their number one level of awareness when it comes to weight loss. The biochemical fit is something that a lot of us are still trying to get our head around.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and I might suggest that that is in fact 100% accurate. Like, that's a good example, because what are we always looking for? We're looking for easy without we want results with ease, right? So we're looking for cultural fit with the biochemical fit, but we don't want the biochemical fit to be difficult.
Right.
And in fact, the perfect weight loss solution for us is the one that causes weight loss and we can continue indefinitely, right? So that is, yeah. If we don't have one or the other part of that equation, it's a total loss. There's no way we can succeed. We can't succeed if we're not losing the weight. We can't succeed if we can't maintain the behaviors we need to maintain in order to keep that weight loss off.
Exactly.
And so that's the problem that we run into. We must find the perfect weight loss formula, which only comes through trial, error, and insight.
Right. And it just has to be, the bottom line of that is, just to sum it up, is it's got to be something that is sustainable for you. And that's what kind of helps us be able to direct people in with suggestions of what we think might work for them. So the more data we receive from individuals, the more help we can give to help them reach that formula or get closer to their formula.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I was thinking about this, Blythe, and I was trying to come up with an analogy that would kind of encapsulate everything. And the one I came up with was starting over every time is akin to playing the lottery as your primary approach to wealth creation. If you think about it, it really is, because you're really just tossing the dice every time, as opposed to a systematized approach to test. You know, put a little money in your account. Let's try this mutual fund and see how it performs. And if it doesn't perform, well, do we give up on mutual funds? No, we might try a different mutual fund that is similar, but maybe has a little bit of a different approach that will, you know, give us a little bit more income or stability or whatever it is you're looking for. So if we just want to give up every time, it's like playing the lottery, because we're starting from scratch every single time. And it's basically all luck, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great analogy. I love it.
Okay, so to repeat for impact only, the only way to build a successful program is through a cycle of do, fail, and learn. Do, fail, and learn. True? You there?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to follow right back up with something else. Absolutely. You have to do it so you can try it and see how it works for you. If it doesn't work, you learn. If it works, you've got another building block in place or another book. You know, for the analogy of the kid to reach the cookie jar, you've got another book stacked up, so you're an inch closer to that cookie jar.
So the tricky thing is that not every important behavior change that we make leads to weight loss immediately, right? Some behaviors are important despite the fact that they don't result in measurable weight loss. So
absolutely.
You know, a good example of this, Blythe, might be, let's say, you know, one of our favorites, which is, of course, the simple add, you know, 60 plus ounces of water per day to your program.
Right.
So start drinking 60 plus ounces of water. Now, some people who do that start losing weight magically. It's
right.
It's amazing.
It is almost kind of like magic at the beginning sometimes.
But some people, they do that and it doesn't change their weight at all. Does that mean that we should stop the drinking of the water and go back to drinking diet soda all day long?
Heck no, absolutely not. And I think that ding, 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 this is a golden nugget right here. Because for those of you who have tried that and you're like, well, that doesn't work for me. You know, I'm using the restroom too often by drinking 60 ounces of water. Well, this is something that your body needs as just a baseline health tip. So with health comes, or with better improved health comes, a healthy weight. So think of that as another building block to get you to where you need to be. And if you're doing or not doing something as simple as getting in 60 ounces of water as just a baseline, that's something we need to revisit. You know, that's something that we need to implement to use as a building block to part of your program.
Right. And, you know, if basically think of it like this. If a new behavior makes you healthier, continue to pursue that healthy habit even if you can't see a result on the scale.
Right.
Okay.
That may not be the first place that you see results. So you might just find that your next checkup with your doctor is, they're like, hey, what have you been doing? What have you been doing differently? And you just think, well, geez, I just added, you know, 20 more ounces of water to my day.
Right?
That's proof that what you're doing is working. It just might not be resulting in a number on the scale yet.
Right. I heard a kidney specialist once say that if people would just drink more water, it would put us out of business. so many of the people he sees in his office for kidney disease comes down to the fact that they're just chronically dehydrated, you know,
yeah.
And that puts strain on the kidneys, causes things like kidney stones, increases the risk of urinary tract infections and things like that. And so if he says, if I could just get people to drink more water, it would almost put me out of business because people would be far more healthy.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay, so that's out of the way. Let's talk about when you fail to stick to a program or behavior, what we should do. And that's okay. When we bring in what's called the if-then algorithm. Can you speak to that, Blythe?
Okay. So if – let's insert like a past obstacle. If I'm not getting adequate amount of sleep between, 7 and 8 hours of sleep, then this time I will – so if that doesn't work for you in the past, if being able to – easily get in your adequate amount of sleep, it didn't work for you, maybe because you didn't set a particular bedtime. Basically, you didn't put
right.
getting sleep on your list of priorities or high on your list of priorities. Then, so you're going to try it again. This time, what is the behavior that you're going to use to try to implement that again? Because we all know that, and do it better, because we know sleep has got to be up there on your list of priorities. So we want to make sure that we use a different approach to get in that adequate amount of sleep for you as an individual. If you're someone who is chronically not getting enough sleep, this is something that we absolutely need to work on. And it's something that needs to be implemented into your program, but we just have to figure out a new avenue to get you there.
Right. So if insert obstacle or stumbling block, then I will insert new behavior that will improve the circumstance.
Yes.
That's the algorithm that we use in making things better. Let's do some more examples. Let's say you so you started a weight loss program and your friends call you up and they say, let's go out and get drinks and hit the restaurant.
Okay.
And so you do it and you ultimately just totally bail on your healthy lifestyle and you just drink lots of wine and you eat a bunch of dessert and order the absolute worst thing on the menu and you come home and the next morning you decide that you've just failed yourself and you start your whole program over and you're just looking for the next best diet. You just give up on the diet and you're looking for – you spend the next 2 weeks looking for the next best diet book.
Okay,
so there's an example. So how would you implement an if-then algorithm for that situation?
So if you could go back in life and choose your own adventure, you would probably go back and say, you know what, next time my friends call, either, you know, if you're going hardcore, I don't know, you might say, you know what, let's go somewhere else where maybe there isn't the happy hour in the drinks. You could pick a healthier restaurant. You could say, you know what, I will come out for one glass of wine, depending on where you are in your journey, and then make yourself drink water and order a healthy salad or something. So you don't completely go overboard. You need to find a balance in there that you can adhere to. Now for people who completely drop the ball, spend 2 weeks looking for a new program, going out with your friends and doing it anyway might kind of put you on that cusp of almost tipping over. So you really don't want to put yourself in that situation in the very beginning. That might be something that you graduate to. You might suggest doing something other than happy hour. You know what? I would love to see you guys. How about we all meet at the park for a picnic? Or how about we all go for a walk together? I invite my friends to come work out with me. I mean, you know, let's do a gym session together. Let's go to a yoga class. Find something else to do that's not going to put you up on that cusp where you might just spill over.
So you got to view these as experiments, right? Like if you were to say, okay, if my friends call me to go out to get to my favorite restaurant to drink wine, I will just always from this point forward say no. That's going to be something that's going to violate the cultural fit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something you enjoy so much, and that's how you get your connection with people, which is one of your human needs. So you might say, if my friends call me up to go to my favorite restaurant, then I will limit myself to 2 glasses of wine.
Okay.
Then I will start my meal off with a big salad and get something else on the menu that isn't so terrible. Or I will not order dessert this time around.
And there you go. Right.
Try it on and you see what happens. Okay.
Yeah. I quite often tell my clients to make a rule for yourself. I'm a rule follower. I can't, if I make a rule for myself, I'm going to brush and floss my teeth after dinner so I don't have dessert. That's a rule that works for me most of the time. You know, those are little things that I suggest to people that I do find work. So maybe I'm going to limit myself to 2 glasses of wine, like you suggested, and have a large glass of water in between or before each glass of wine. So at least you're making a rule and you're feeling good about the accomplishment that you made of adhering to that rule.
Love it. So, okay, good. So that's the if-then algorithm. Very, very powerful technique. By the way, the time to build your if-then algorithm is not in the moment. It's before the moment, right?
So
you started a diet, or a healthy lifestyle. Let's get rid of that word diet, a healthy lifestyle. And on Friday, something happened, and Saturday morning you woke up unconscious, face down in an empty large pizza box.
No, okay.
Then the next time, the time to make your if-then algorithm is not when you're standing over top a brand new large pizza. The time is directly after the obstacle or failure, right? So, okay, you wake up the next morning, you are unconscious and face down in a pizza box, and you wake up, you say, oh man, that really sucks. I was going really good there for the week. So if I have a major craving for pizza, then next time I will get a low-carb flatbread and some pizza sauce and some mozzarella cheese and just make a healthier alternative. And you just try it on. You see what happens. Or next time I will try eating this instead or that instead.
So, or going out and getting a slice instead of an entire pizza.
Right. So you just test it out, right?
Right.
And so you might not, you may find that, okay, so yeah, it's working, but I still feel like, I go out and I buy one slice of pizza, and you find that at the end of eating that slice of pizza, you're still starving for pizza. Well, that just simply didn't work for you, right? So it's not enough that you just decide to go and get one slice of pizza because you want to eat more. So maybe the next time you say, okay, well, let's try 2 slices. See if it impacts my weight loss. So every Friday, I'm going to go out. I'm going to order 2 slices of pizza instead of large pizza. I'm going to eat that, and I'm going to see what happens on Monday when I weigh in and see how it makes me feel. See how my energy levels. See how my focus is. Just how do I sleep, when I do that. See how it impacts your health and your lifestyle. You may find that every Friday you can go out and eat 2 slices of pizza, and still weigh in on Monday and have lost half a pound. Well, that's useful information that says maybe this will work for me culturally and biochemically. Maybe I don't have to give up pizza entirely.
Right. And ultimately, doing these types of experiments, what you end up finding are things that you can, quote unquote, get away with and still make progress. And quite often that motivates you to, well, I wonder what would happen if I only got 1.5 slices of pizza. Mm-hmm. Then what would happen? So it actually motivates you in a positive direction running these types of experiments.
Right. Awesome. Love it. Okay. So let's move on to what you should do if you've failed so many times that you don't know how to tweak your program for results anymore. Like you're just, man, you feel like you've tried everything and you don't know how to tweak things. The answer is very, very simple. It's go back to the basics.
Right.
Always fall back to the fundamentals.
Right. And the fundamentals are Some of the baseline ones for me, getting enough sleep, drinking plenty of water. I tell my clients, at least, it's like a game of hopscotch. You know, if you end up stepping in the square with 2 feet, go back to square one, hop on that 1 foot. And square one is typically making sure you're getting in enough water, because water is something that we all, most of us, have plenty of access to. And it's something that you can implement right now. You can go and get a glass of water. Start there. That is solid square one. You give yourself a pat on the back for getting the water and move forward.
So are you sleeping at least 7 hours a night? Are you drinking 60 ounces of water? Are you walking daily? Are you lifting weights? These are all fundamental things that ultimately drive the results. In the end, weight loss is about what you eat, how you move, how you rest and recover, how you deal with stress. Simple as that. You get all those things right, guess what? You don't have a weight problem, right?
Right, right. Exactly.
All right, good.
Okay, so falling back to the basics, the next topic we have is focusing on changing your behavior and not focusing on the losing of weight. So changing your behavior would be, well, kind of runs in line with the experiments, you know. Well, if I'm eating an entire pizza every Friday night, waking up Saturday morning with my face in a box of pizza, maybe it was a behavior. Maybe you shouldn't be punishing yourself for not having weight loss that week. We need to go back and focus on the behaviors. And it's not just focusing on the negative behaviors. It's focusing on the positive behaviors as well, which are the fundamentals that we just listed.
Excellent. And so basically, shoot for improving your lifestyle by 1% every day. If you do that, it will result in a 365% improvement in your lifestyle by this time next year. Okay.
Yeah.
And that doesn't
That's
even take into account.
365%.
Right.
That's amazing.
And that doesn't even take into account the compound interest you get on that. Like you improve your life by 1% today. Well, when you improve it by 1% tomorrow, you're actually improving it by the 1%, you know, over the 1% that you improved yesterday. So there's a little bit of, and as you do that more and more and more, the end result is you get logarithmic improvements in your lifestyle over time. They don't come till later. You know, it feels sluggish and slow in the beginning, but the longer we repeat that 1% every day, 1% every day, 1% every day, soon it just takes off like a rocket ship. And right. We start to see dramatic benefits. I think that's what happened, you know, with them in our weight loss group, right?
Yeah, in our challenge group. We have people that have been at this for so long, and they were focused on the good behaviors that they were implementing, that they are finally starting to reap the rewards. And they're like, wow, this is like not easy, because it does require effort, but it's working.
And when it works, it feels so, so amazing. And that is something that is available to everyone. That's another message for today, is that there, you know, like we said, there's no weight problem that is unsolvable. Every single one of us, every single one of you listening, there is solution to the problem. Just because you haven't found it up to this point doesn't mean it doesn't exist. In fact, I guarantee you it exists. You know, I don't care if you have thyroid problems. I don't care if you suffer with, you know, polycystic ovary syndrome. I don't care if everybody in your family is overweight or obese. I don't care about any of that, because I know that if you use this process of just improving 1%, 1%, 1%, ultimately you will get to the point where your metabolism will have no choice but to reward you with the goal that you're after, which is a naturally healthy and fit metabolism and body. It just can't withstand constant and never ending improvement. It can't.
Right. Right. And it's guaranteed to work. Like you said, I don't ever use the word guarantee, but
yeah, I've never heard you use the word guarantee. And I love the fact that you did in this circumstance.
Yeah, because it will work. There is a way out there. And, you know, by implementing these simple as it sounds, is truly as simple as it is. It's just, we quite often give up in the process or through the journey, and it's seeing ourselves through the journey. It's being married to the process.
Right. It is.
Yeah. Well, so, do you have any ending thoughts for
no,
this?
I think that that's good. I would say this. I am excited to say that we're trying something new here. Okay, so with episode 103 is the first episode where we will have available to you guys a cheat sheet that you can download that basically has 25 of the golden nugget points throughout this entire podcast episode. So it will be available to download if you just visit cutthefatpodcast.com. You will find it there. If you are already on our email list, I'm going to email out the link for the people who are already on the list. But if you're new, just sign up and you'll basically receive an automatic email that will give you a link to basically download the cheat sheet. And from, you know, I don't know about past episodes, whether or not I'll have the resources to be able to go back and make these cheat sheets for all of them. Eventually, I'd love to. But moving forward, you will have availability to these cheat sheets for free just by going to the website cutthefatpodcast.com. Sound cool?
Awesome. Yeah. And who doesn't want a pocket full of golden nuggets? I mean, I do.
I will send it right over to you, Blythe.
Fantastic. Guys, if you haven't yet heard about our Cut the Fat challenges, we launch them every 3 months or so. And we have
every 2 months, every 60 days or so.
Oh, 60 days. Okay. Yeah. 60 days is 2 months. We're launching them and we're having some great times, lots of motivation, tons of support. I mean, I'm really, really enjoying being a part of this. And for those of you who feel like you're stuck, or maybe you feel like your program sucks or your follow through sucks, this is here to help. We are offering this to help remedy some of this confusion and frustration. So if you're interested, you know, just go to cutthefatpodcast.com. We'll put you on the email list and we'll let you know when the next one opens up.
Especially if your follow through sucks. I mean, that's really, you know, we've been doing this a long time, Blythe, and you know, people come to the podcast for information, but what they really want is transformation, and transformation comes with accountability. And the accountability side of things is just so powerful in the Cut the Fat Challenge. So I'm, you know, if it's something that sounds like you want to try out, definitely just go to the Cut the Fat podcast page and sign up for the email list, and we will email you out as soon as we open it up. Obviously, there will come a point where we won't be able to take any more people because there's only two of us. And
yeah.
So, you know, if you're on the list, you will be the first to have an option to get on that. Okay, cool.
Perfect. Awesome. And if you guys have any general questions, feel free to email me, blythe@cutthefatpodcast.com. I'm always happy to touch base with you guys. If you have any questions or concerns or anything, email me. I am pretty good at getting back to people almost right away, within 24 hours at least. So I'd be happy to help you guys out there.
And we will also, if you know, if you do email, make sure that you tell us whether or not it's okay to use your question on the air. And
yes.
Your first name, if you want us to use your first and last name, tell us. Some people like to hear the first and last name. But if you say first name's cool, then great. Otherwise, we can just change the name entirely, the first name, and do the question. But I think it's valuable for people to hear the types of questions that you guys have so that we can answer them for the good of all.
Right, because if you're wondering, you're not the only one out there wondering. There are other people. And for those of you who do take the time to reach out and ask questions, I know that is valued by many. So thank you guys who have emailed me in the past. And we look forward to seeing you guys in the next episode of Cut the Fat Podcast.
See ya.